Hello, ladies, and I hope that you are all having an amazing week and that this Wednesday or whatever day is easier for you to listen in is treating you well. You all know we launched this podcast last week, and I cannot even begin to explain the overwhelming support and all of the messages that I have received of women in all walks of life experiencing all different types of burnout. Some in the initial stages of burnout, some in the middle of burnout, and some also coming out of burnout. Some of these women have just had babies. Some of these women have lost them. Some are skyrocketing career women, and some also just lost their job. Some are happily married. Some are going through a divorce. Some are military spouses like myself, and some only identified with the struggles that I have with my youngest baby. But this is exactly what I wanted. That is exactly what I was going for. No matter what stage or style of life or what you do to decompress or what makes you feel good, the only thing that you need to have in common here is burnout and the desire to overcome it. Welcome to Burnout to Bulletproof. This is Francesca Cooper. I'm a female trailblazer who knows every woman struggles with their own version of burnout, whether it's from career chasing, huge goals, motherhood, body image, family, and more. And I'm pretty positive I can help you through it. Doesn't matter where you came from, doesn't matter where you've been, or anything that you've done. You are enough, and it's time to make you bulletproof. This week, we are going to talk about controlling your uncontrollable environment. During burnout, one of the biggest feelings is feeling suffocated. You're suffocated and trapped by having to make too many decisions, having to make too many sacrifices, having to do too much and do all of them at the same time, all while little to no recognition from others that you are struggling at all. And some even have bosses, peers, family, clients asking them to do even more. I remember getting home at 1 a.m. in the morning from work, finally showering, decompressing, eating a small snack, getting into bed at around 3 or 3:30, and then having to wake up at 6, get both of my babies ready for the day, take my oldest to school after making sure Jameson was fed, and then going to whatever meetings I had for my business before going back to another 12 to 14 hour shift. I was legitimately spinning my wheels and spinning my soul directly into the ground. I was excited about nothing. I couldn't attend a birthday dinner. I tucked my kids into bed on Monday nights only. And that was only if the client from my personal business didn't need a meeting on Mondays. I couldn't even be the wife I wanted to be. Shit, I couldn't even be the person I wanted to be. I started working at the restaurant in March, and by Thanksgiving, my grandfather, who is my absolute best friend in the whole world besides my husband, when my time of burnout had become a long-standing phase, he pulled me aside and he goes, "I don't even know who you are anymore." What? How could this man not know who I was? The one who has traveled to see me play every single softball game, who used to slip $20 in my pocket every single time he saw me. So we have this thing called POW, Poppy's Words of Wisdom. And so he used to send me an email, him and my grandmother, almost every week to every 2 weeks, telling me new things to think about and look forward to. How could this man who sent me these things not know who I was? We were supposed to be besties, right? Like when you're tight with your grandpa, or your dad or whoever, like they're supposed to know. How can they not know who you are? How could they not see how hard you're working? How can they not see what you're sacrificing? How can they not understand the cross that you're bearing and overcoming and still going to work? Because they shouldn't have to. Because work isn't an excuse to become a bad person. Work isn't an excuse to change who you are. Now, seasons of stressful times at work are completely understandable. Like accountants, tax season, like game on. Boom, here we go. Wedding season, you know, great weather, it's on. Boom, military deployments, bam. Like we know there are seasons of life where it's crunch time, baby. Everybody's got to suck it up. This is what pays the bills. But a constant draining, non-reciprocating, non-acknowledgeable path of life for work is not ever going to last with those around you. It will drain who you are. Those words from him, "I don't even know who you are anymore," were exactly what I needed to hear. When you are in burnout, you will 100% guaranteed act out of character, whether it is a single action or whether it becomes a repetitive cycle. You will behave unlike you have ever behaved before, and it will make you look like you are a very different type of person. My loud, vivacious, and passionate love for life and my family and our dreams became rage and short-tempered arrogance. The smile that lights up a room became eyes that held back tears all day, every day. The woman who dreamed her entire life of being married was sleeping on a couch with a pending marital separation with a nanny picking up her baby from elementary school. None of those things, if you had told me that before I had a family, would I ever have believed it to be true. And the process to getting there is slow. It's slow, which makes it feel like it's not as painful. And then when you look back on it, you almost can't face the life that you lived and the past that you have. The thing about burnout is there is no peak. It's an all equally destructive phase. It sneaks in with ease. And then before you know it, you are engulfed in it. You know, on TV shows, you see someone who wants something from like a politician. So they become friends, gain trust, then they blackmail them and never go away. I know most of you ladies like Scandal. Hello, Olivia Pope, right? Black files on everyone, okay? Everybody has a black file or a kill folder, as they would call it. Burnout is the person blackmailing you. It holds you, right, in as a prisoner, constantly reminds you of your failings, current and past, and burnout has a kill folder on you, which is all of your confidence, weaknesses, and it will steal all of your happiness away to keep you captive. But there is no peak. It's all equally as painful. Sure, some days are worse than others, but the overall phase will rock your world. One positive thing is making proactive steps towards overcoming burnout. They can be made overnight. Overcoming your burnout can be made overnight. Slow and steady is the path you will take to unlearn the behavior that you have ingrained in yourself. But the initial step to take control is swift, harsh, and uncomfortable. So let's talk about some ways that you can control your uncontrollable environment. This is what is going to be immediately soul-searching into your pain points, and what commitments you need to make and how to adapt to how you want to unlearn your new behavior. Okay, now this might sound super lame, like, okay, Frankie, obviously environments and burnout and all of these things seem like super basic items. Like I said in the initial episode, these are things that I have done for myself, and these are things that I know that have worked and have stuck with me. And this is advice that I have also given my friends. these are things that I do in my marriage. These are things that I see actually happening and what works and what doesn't work. And I think that even if you have a question about them, you can ask me, but just listening, I think, will open up your mindset to a different point of view, which is the goal. The main goal is to get you out of burnout, right? So let's do this shit. Let's do it. Even if it's not something you would normally do, like even if it's not a thought process that you would normally have, let's get through burnout together. All right. So my first example about how to handle an uncontrollable environment. So in my intro, you know that I got my heart broken by my high school sweetheart. And it was one of those tragic, like the moment I saw you walk into Spanish class our sophomore year, I know exactly what he was wearing. Like he was the end all be all man, right? Well, of course, because I was a teenager, so I thought he was a man. Things didn't work out for us dating until our senior year. And it was just this full on proms and homecomings and growing into adults together and careers together and all of that initial like college, threw around marriage. We threw around marriage, y'all. I would smack the 18-year-old version of me silly, but we did. And I can't say that I would regret it because he was a great person. We were not great together. And that's okay. People can be great people and not be great when compatible with another person, which is a huge thing that most adults don't realize. All right. So going into this, I had moved out. I had been on my own. I lived in Northeast Florida by myself, working two jobs, paying my own rent, blah, 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 having older friends, going to bars, the whole fun thing. And so whenever the on again, off again relationship stuff kept happening, I'm like, there has to be a point that this ends. Like, we can't continue on down this path into our mid-20s and early 30s. We can't be on again, off again like we're in high school when we're not in high school anymore. And ladies, I know some of you are still doing this exact thought process with men much older. Stop letting them yank your chain, okay? If you're playing the game too, more power to you. If you are initially invested and you're all in and they're bullshitting you, get out. You are not going to change a man, okay? Your love isn't going to change him. You aren't going to change him. If he changes, it will be because he wants to and on his own terms. All right. Now, back to the story. So I decided on again, off again wasn't for me anymore. So I remember sitting watching the Florida LSU game, wondering why my boyfriend that I thought was going to marry and be so wonderful was being such a shithead, right? So then we walk out to the car, super weird, kisses me on the forehead. Who kisses somebody? I'm not talking like that romantic, like the Notebook kiss on the forehead that you're like, yes, this is the best thing ever. I mean, like the nonchalant, like side lip forehead, like it's almost like a cheekbone kiss. Like it's not even, it's like they're shoving you off to the side. I got one of those and then got shoved into my Toyota Corolla. And was like, bye, babe, have a good night. So I'm like, I don't even know what's happening right now. So the next day, you know what? The next day was the revelation. So that night, I called him and I was like, I am not going to accept what you just did in my life any longer. What's the problem? What do you want? What is going on in that head of yours? Because I will not take the day off work and drive to Jacksonville to see you and you treat me like garbage. So what is going on? I will never, ever forget this sentence that he said to me, ever. He said, it isn't that I don't want you. It's that I don't want you right now. My response, instead of losing it like I wanted to, was I need you to understand what you are saying. If you are willing to state that right now you do not want me, you are stating that you will never want me because I am never taking you back. This is it. I am done. And he replied, then that is what I'm saying. Because I always took him back, right? I always took him back. Not this time, baby. All right. So I hid my phone. So this is what we call controlling, right? So I went home, lived with roommates. They were amazing. Took my phone. We are going to the beach for 4 straight days. They took me to the beach to literally sob my eyes out, not answer a phone call, and called out of work for me at the age of 19. Don't answer. Don't talk. Don't try to text him. Don't call him. Don't be angry. Don't do anything. Controlling your environment. Okay. I literally took his number out of my phone, controlling your environment. I blocked his number from incoming calls, controlled my environment. I specifically went out of my way to make plans with girlfriends for 2 weeks straight, controlling my environment. I made the decisions to not allow him to be able to come back. By the time he came back, I was already dating my husband. He wasn't my husband then, but he was my husband. All right. So those are the little things. Don't sell yourself short on basic shit. Blocking a phone number is huge. Okay. I know some of you have blocked phone numbers. This is a big deal, right? Because you don't like unblock and block and block and unblock and unblock and block and block. Like once they're blocked, like in your mind, you're like, yeah, done. Behind me, right? Like blocking a phone number is a big deal. All right. So outside of that, next example, how I control my uncontrollable environment. My kids drive me absolutely bananas with how messy they keep our house. Like bananas. So the oldest is almost 10. He knows. He does his own laundry, washes, puts it in the dryer, folds it. He has a chore list, pick up shoes, pick up hats, like all of the random crap you leave around the house. You're 10. I'm not your maid. All right. You need to do it. But we have an open concept floor plan, which I know a lot of people buying new construction or anything that's been built really in the last 15 years is an open concept layout. Kitchen, dining room, living room bleeds just right into each other. So it's super hard for me is we are a non-technology in the bedroom type family. If you are not cool, I don't care. Like this isn't like you do you boo boo. I am here for to support you in every way that you need. Our personal family motto, no technology, no TVs in the bedrooms, which means it requires them to either be in the playroom, which is a main area, or the living room, which is a main area. It's also a main sightline area. Nobody can walk in our house and not see the playroom or the living room. So this is where the toys are and all of the things that generally drive people nuts when they're trying to keep their house nice. So controlling my uncontrollable environment, especially during COVID and the pandemic, where they have been home every single day since March 15th, all right, we're going on like August 15th at this point. I don't have it in me. I don't have it in me to be the mom that makes them pick up every night because I'm exhausted and I want to go to bed. Like I like to sleep. I do not want to spend from 9:30 to 10, like yelling at my 9-year-old about picking up at the end of the night. I just don't want to do it. That might be a fault of mine, but I'm going to tell you right now, that's where I tap out because I'm not doing it. So what I do is I focus on the 2/3 of the house I can control. So in the main open concept space, you have the kitchen, the dining room, the living room. My cutoff space is the last dining room chair. I keep the entrance and the kitchen and the dining room up to a level that makes my blood pressure not boil. And it makes me feel good. Because I'm in the kitchen, I make hot tea in the morning and then I have to make them lunch and I make snacks and then I make dinner or I go in there with my laptop so I can be in a room with them and still work. But having those places non-cluttered helps me personally. But that living room looks like a heaping pile of garbage, right? I can see it, but I have literally trained my mind to not go there. Frankie, that's not your fight. Mm-mm. Nope. One day when they eventually go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We'll do it once every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Girl, you keep this kitchen and this dining room looking fire. You are on top of it. You have to control that part of your mind. And it does make me feel better. Like, if I only focused on the living room and didn't focus on the kitchen and dining room, I would think I was a slob. That kitchen and dining room's on point, okay, guys? So focus on that. Same thing with deployments. So I know that this is a more marginal group of women, but deployments, like, literally pick and choose your battles. All right. I love to cook, like, love to cook from scratch, making sauces and trying new things and seafood and chicken and beef. I love to grill as well. I am the grill master. I'm just going to throw that out there. I can make a ribeye like nobody's business. But when it comes to deployments, having to keep the kids busy and entertained, because you want to keep their minds off of it. Like, their dad is gone. They don't know why their dad is gone, right? I remember my oldest coming home from school crying because he would tell his friends his dad was at war and they would ask him if he was dead. That is our reality. Those are the answers we have to tell our children. Those are the questions that we get asked. So as a mom, while I'm over here faking it, that dad's just chilling at a desk, doing nothing, not in harm's way, my kid comes home with this harsh reality that, all right, well, no, he's not, but he is in a very dangerous place. So you want to go swimming and you want to go to theme parks and you want to do this and this and you want to hang out with friends and all the things that keep them busy to keep them from asking you those questions. And to keep a house sane. And for me, I run a business. So this isn't just to keep a house clean and keep the kids fed and keep my head above water. This is also continuing to make money. So it's a insanely complex version of life. So what is one thing I give up? I give up cooking dinner. You heard me.
Mm-hmm.
I give up cooking dinner. Not cooking dinner in general. Okay, chill out before you call people to come take my kids. I would do like friend dinners or family dinners and things like that. But in general, cooking dinner, takeout, pizza, Chinese, would make one big pot of spaghetti, make it last, all of those things, because I couldn't take 2 hours out of every day to make a home-cooked meal for them. I had to take them here. I had to push him on the swing. I had to watch him play tag. I had to take him to football. I had to work. I had to do all of these things. There wasn't 2 hours in the day to make a home-cooked meal from scratch. And I love doing it. I love doing it. But that is the one thing that I learned I had to give up. When I had a really good day, I would still kill it in the kitchen. Absolutely. But it is the one place that I consistently showed myself grace, because there are women listening to me right now that don't even have that luxury. I didn't always have that luxury. When the oldest was young, we didn't have that luxury. Delivery groceries, delivery dinners, delivery this, having the money to afford delivery. That isn't in everybody's reality. But now that it's in mine, that is one thing that I do to control my environment. I know that the evening is stressful because bathing both of them and homework and lullabies and all of those things that you dream about, you know, when you're a mom, they're not necessarily bad things, but for one person to be in charge of doing them all, my deployment and single mamas know what I'm talking about. It's something you have to give up sometimes. And being okay with that is one of the key things in going through burnout and overcoming them, because this is a stage. It's a stage and it's a phase of life, but you can grow out of it. I know that you can grow out of it. I believe that you can grow out of it. You know you can grow out of it. You just need someone to give you a little bit of nudge and push you over the edge and tell you that they believe in you. Well, I believe in you 118%. And we will get you out of this stage and into a healthier one. We'll do it together. Thank you for following along on this podcast. Our Instagram page is Burnout to Bulletproof. And then also, if you are interested in burnout coaching, please go to www.francescacooper.com or follow us on Instagram at @TheFrancescaCooper. I look forward to hearing from some of you and listening to any of your struggles. And thank you for following along.